Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So in the early 50s and 60s, there was a trend where it seemed like every TV sitcom was centered in a rural setting. These shows became huge hits for audiences and have gone on to become some of the most classic TV shows of all time. So why did the networks decide to cancel all of them? What became known as the Rural Purge started in the early 1970s when the big networks decided it was time for a major shift in television. Essentially, CBS canceled everything with a tree in it. Gone were many of the variety shows, including Ed Sullivan's sitcoms like The Beverly Hillbillies, Green Acres, all to make room for The Mary Tyler Moore Show, All in the Family, Bob Newhart, MASH, and other TV classics. The 1971 television season truly changed the course of television 50 years ago. And to talk about these impactful changes on the small screen is Wally Podrazik, author of the book Watching TV. Hey, Wally.
Good to see you.
Good to see you face to face. Is this the first face-to-face we've
done? This is the first face-to-face we've had in a long time.
I love it. And you're a longtime guy on WGN to the days of Steve and Johnny, right?
Yeah. He just had a birthday.
All right. So for a while there, CBS was no longer the Tiffany Network. They were kind of the country broadcasting system, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And part of that was simply the business side. Namely, if you're talking about raw numbers, total audience numbers, that was part of their formula. But something was changing in the air. It was becoming more competitive. Very important point to note, amongst the only three networks at the time,
right?
ABC, CBS, and NBC. And CBS and NBC in particular had been going head-to-head. CBS still was number one, but by an increasingly thin margin. And ABC had found an interesting niche. It said, well, we don't have as many viewers, but we have the right viewers. Mm-hmm. And they were emphasizing demographics. And so something else kicked in as CBS was saying, we've got to break this cycle. We've got to just leave NBC behind. And what helped them was the FCC was requiring the individual networks with their stations to have fewer hours of primetime devoted to network programming. They had to cut shows anyway.
Yeah, right.
They had to open up some slots for independent productions. And so the networks took advantage of that and said, okay, there are a lot of reasons that we may want to cut this, these particular programs, but here's an underlying one. We have to anyway.
We
have to get rid of something, so let's find something fresh. And actually, prior to the formal Rural Purge, they had already introduced Mary Tyler Moore. So, I mean,
Right in the early 1970s.
Exactly. And so they said, okay, that seems to be working. It's a way of going to a very familiar formula, namely traditional sitcom, but with a fresh sheen to it. So let's do more of that. Norman Lear had been kicking around this All in the Family.
For years.
Yeah. I've seen all three pilots.
Me too.
And he says proudly, look, they were all good, but what was missing was just the right chemistry for the kids. And Third Time was the charm for them, and it works. If you watch all three of them, the script really hasn't changed from pilot to pilot.
So people are actually saying right now, why is Dave geeking out on this? It's because this happened 50 years ago that it really created modern television as we know it today.
Yeah, and what Norman Lear did is said, you know, everything you like about television, families and such, forget if they're set in the country, forget if they're set in the city. We like All in the Family.
Yeah.
Let's follow these stories, and we have families that look more like the families that we see every day.
Not the perfect ones that were on television for 20 years.
Lord knows.
That nobody was close to, right?
They were anything but perfect.
Yeah.
And that's what made them so much fun.
Yeah.
Is that you got to see them grow right in front of your eyes. And that opened the door, and the world didn't fall apart if Archie Bunker had an encounter with Sammy Davis Jr., drop-in cameo in his own Sammy Davis Jr. persona. And more important, the next-door neighbors were black. More important, spin-offs began to emerge. Suddenly they say, we can do this, and here's the key to it. they were successful.
Very successful.
And if they were successful, television likes nothing more than success.
But I will say, back in the 1960s, and I know when you hear the word, even as a kid who grew up in the 70s and watched the reruns like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, it's just kind of a goofy show, but that was the top of the ratings. You want to talk about All in the Family and all these signature shows in the 70s. You know, the ratings, you couldn't argue that they were big success stories when the Beverly Hillbillies, Petticoat Junction, Green Acres, Andy Griffith, Mayberry RFD, all these country shows, Hee Haw, they were huge. They were.
And that's what made it such a daring change. In other words, it wasn't, we're going to get rid of the unsuccessful shows. We've looked at how long these have been on. I mean, to be on like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years, and we're not even going to talk about how long Ed Sullivan was on. And basically saying, let's take the hit now because we can get future hits by going a new direction. And that's what they did. And it was daring. It was daring because it was essentially trusting the audience to come with them. And it was trusting the writers, producers, performers to be up to snuff. And they were. Because it wasn't like they found these people and they had never done production work before. I mean, goodness, Rob Reiner was part of the, had aired previously, the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, these were not strangers to mainstream television. They were these were people who said, here's the opportunity to do something different.
Okay, but the Smothers Brothers, now that was years before this
couple
purge.
Years before.
Yeah, and that was daring. I mean, that was ridiculously daring. So they were almost ahead of their time when they did that comedy
show. Most definitely. I still consider the Smothers Brothers one of the most daring because it was all done in prime time.
Right.
It was not late night, Saturday nights, etc. Right. It was prime time, and they took on issues and personalities and language and what have you. And cutting their teeth on that, they said, okay, we can do that, but in a little less threatening way.
Yeah. In some of these comedies, the varieties, you said Sullivan. It was a sophisticated show. Red Skelton, maybe not so much, but that was actually canceled as well. There was Westerns. I know Gunsmoke came off the schedule, went back on the schedule for a few more years past all that because you couldn't argue the success and longevity of that show.
Also because William Paley loved it.
He did. He did. He did. So the guy that was behind all this, and again, changing to modern television, more that we have today, and that's why this is such an important anniversary, is that Fred Silverman, who actually was a WGN TV executive, really created that children's block in the afternoon, Bozo Circus, Family Classics. This is the guy that really, you know, created a WGN TV that anyone who grew up in our generation just loves and reveres. But then when he got hired by CBS, you know, and he's looking at all these, and he called them S-kicking shows that just had its longevity by that point. He knew, you know, just like any executive that goes to a company, he had to make his mark. And how do you build a network for the future? And that's what he was thinking when he did all this.
Yeah, and he started out with daytime. I mean, CBS absolutely ruled in daytime. So he had credibility. He knew how to take the pieces of the puzzle and make them work to maximum effect. So CBS, as I said, was coming off of what they thought were too many close competitive years with its number one rival, NBC. We're going to bring in some new blood. Yeah. We're going to bring in this guy who has a proven track record, who knows how to arrange the pieces of the programming puzzle, and let him have at it.
The Television Academy has a great archive of interviews of TV legends, producers, directors, actors, and so forth. We have an association with them through the Museum of Broadcast Communications, which I chair. Our Encyclopedia of Television is a pairing to some of those conversations. There's the Fred Silverman interview that you can find on YouTube or the Television Academy website is hours long. I mean, this guy's career just was nonstop. Went to ABC, created Happy Days, then went to NBC. I mean, it was just nonstop. And then his own production company. Here's a little clip, though, just so you can hear where his thoughts were on this when he got to the network, of how they needed to clean up these old rural country theme shows and bring some sophistication back to the network.
It's Saturday night. Looked really bleak. You had My Three Sons, which was 85 years old, and Sandy Duncan, which was this show is really a dog. Wasn't any good. And in August, you know, this is really my first fall. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Saturday night, we got My Three Sons, which is going to die. NBC had this highly touted new show called Partners with Don Adams, which is kind of a remake of Get Smart with cops. And Sandy Duncan, which was just awful. And I said, this is going to be my first and last season. I can see it now. You know, and I went out, and a couple of things struck me. You know, they were taping All in the Family, and these shows were terrific. And the second thing was, we had Mary Tyler Moore scheduled on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock in between the Beverly Hillbillies and Hee Haw. So that was scheduling. You know, and I looked at Mary Tyler Moore and I said, this is such a terrific show. We got this sitting in the middle of all this, these kicker shows, and I called him up, and it was a couple of weeks before the start of the season. I said, Bob, you know, we have some resources. We gotta deploy them in a better way. And I'm just, please listen. I think that All in the Family can be a major hit for us. Let's get it out of that time period. Put it at the beginning of Saturday. Let's do a simple flip. You know, we'll do a simple flip where we'll take All in the Family, put it at 8, and take My Three Sons and put it at 10:30 Monday. It's the last year anyway. And I said, the second thing you should consider doing, it's Mary Tyler Moore. It's such a smart show. Let's put it on Saturday night. You got Dick Van Dyke at 9 o'clock. Let's put it at 9:30, and we'll move, I don't know, Pogan's Heroes, whatever the hell was in there. Move it to Tuesday. Let Tuesday be the receptacle for all the crap that we weren't able to cancel yet. And so at least now you got Mary Tyler Moore on the beginning of a good night, and you got All in the Family leading it off. So you got a real shot at building something on Saturday night. And he said, let me think about it. He called me back about an hour later. He said, go. Yeah, because he had a check with his boss. But he said, go, and two or three weeks later, the shows went on the air, and All in the Family just, I called the research department, and then you got New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, and I said, what are the shares? He said, New York, 80, Los Angeles, 68, Chicago, 72, you know, and I said, well, now, we were partying last night, what's going on here? You know, why are you doing this to me? And those were the shares. I mean, it just exploded.
And that was the great Fred Silverman. So all these shows were quickly axed to make room what was to become some of the new classics of American television. We're talking to Wally Podrazik, author of the book Watching TV, on how the rural purge 50 years ago created modern television today. And there's more with him next on 720 WGN. State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Wally Podrazik. His book is Watching TV. And we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the rural purge in television. It's a fascinating story that changed the course of television history. So, as you had heard, Fred knew he couldn't cancel a lot of these old shows, the Beverly Hillbillies, Green Acres, whatever, they had to go on, Gunsmoke and so forth. But the deck started to clear, and here came some of the groundbreaking, controversial shows. At a time in the early 70s where audiences might have been ready for something more sophisticated and just didn't know it until they got it.
I have to keep coming back to storytelling. That's what Norman Lear and his writers, and Bud Yorkin was part of the team as well. Bud Yorkin went on and did Sanford and Son. And essentially, they knew that people wanted to follow characters that intrigued them. Mm-hmm. And so they put...
And a little like them.
Oh, very much like
them. Yeah.
I mean, legendarily, Norman Lear talks about, well, Archie Bunker. Did he have daddy issues? I mean, this reminds me of my own family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I will say this is a strong compliment to the real character integrity of these series. Yes, they took on incredibly important issues in a way that hadn't been done before, apart from something like The Smothers Brothers, but they didn't lose the humanity. They didn't lose why people enjoy watching television. And if you watch All in the Family reruns, or if you're watching it at the time, Archie Bunker grew. Archie Bunker grew up.
True.
And understood and added, you know, I guess that's okay. I guess that's not so bad. I guess actually I have a lot more in common with my meathead son-in-law, don't tell him, than I'd care to admit.
Well, I mean, there were 60 shows that were very well done and sophisticated, like the Dick Van Dyke Show. Classic,
sure.
Legendary, really wasn't, you know, rural theme, so to speak. In fact, it was very much the opposite that would have survived in the 1970s. But you think about, you know, and they were fun shows, and they're part of television history, but, you know, we talk about the country shows, Genie, Bewitched, My Favorite Martian, My Three Sons. It was all that girl. It was all cute. It was all warm and fuzzy. There was no controversy, really, in any of these shows. But then when you go to the 1970s and, you know, you talk about these spinoffs, Good Times wasn't it was a representation of a black family in the projects in Chicago, but it wasn't very well accepted by the people on the show and the community in general, because it was showing the African community in just a negative light.
It's tough. Once you've said, I'm going to do this, then you're basically exposing yourself to every criticism that could come up and say, well, I would have done it differently. And so one of the results of the Rural Purge and the doors opened by Norman Lear and others in his wake was that, all right, you didn't like the way we did this. You go do yours. Mm. You go. And so when you look at the schedule going through the 70s, you will see so many shows that could not have aired in 1963 or 64.
Yeah.
Something like Barney Miller, for instance.
Yeah, true.
You come and say, oh, that's like everybody.
Yeah,
precinct house.
That was a thing, yeah.
And in fact, there was so much confidence that, yes, we can do things like this. I mean, Barney Miller, for instance, was originally conceived more as a what we would call now a dramedy versus a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it played very well as a comedy, laugh track, etc.
Now, what's really funny is almost right after the Rural Purge was over, CBS signed on to the Waltons.
Well, I was about to say, don't think that they ignored that part of the demographic. They're not dumb. They're in business. But they found different ways of reaching that audience.
Sure.
And frankly, in some ways, better ways.
Yeah.
I mean, The Waltons was a solid series. And there were others like that that would respect the country as opposed to saying the bumpkins.
And that is how the Rural Purge created modern television. So watching TV, the book, what edition are we in?
We're in the third edition. You can find out more about it at watchingtv.org. And yeah.
It's the most comprehensive book, seriously, on television from the very beginning.
Takes you from the beginning till modern times.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you.